So I spent the better part of this morning detangling my hair. I'm a teensy weeny bit lazy. Don't tell anybody. Which is not great for black hair care. So our hair requires just a little bit more maintenance to keep our hair healthy. So I know that I should be detangling my hair at least once a week. Normally, I keep it up in a ball, and sometimes it naturally locks. That's why I try to do it once a week, but I hadn't done it for a while, so I was preparing myself. I'm like, this is going to take a long time. I had my whole process. It was to shampoo and then condition, but then also use rice water and then condition again. While I had the shea butter in hot boiling water on the stove so that it would be liquid so I could put it on my hair. And then I also had this other oil that I bought from Floracopia and two different combs. And it took an hour, over an hour. Because I don't blow dry my hair, I let it air dry. So I have my own unique way of not ripping out my hair and actually lovingly gardening it, in a sense. But normally I don't have the TV or music on while I'm doing this. I just keep my own inner thoughts company. So as I was doing that, the idea of why don't you talk about all of your scripts and give more details about them before you close out the year? And I felt like that was a good idea for an episode. So here I go. I'm going to go through my main scripts. I'll give a synopsis, maybe a log line, maybe how I came up with the script. I'm going to start with one of my shorts. It's called Seep. And Seep was a dream in 2021. Most of my dreams become scripts. And I'm normally a spectator in my dream, and I'm lucid. In this particular dream, I noticed the main person was familiar, but I couldn't quite place her face and her name. But when I woke up, I was able to connect the dots. It's Radha Blank. And a surefire way to motivate me not only to finish a script but elevate it is through DMing the person that inspired it or a person in the industry that I respect. And it just, for whatever reasons, it gives me such anxiety and pressure that I hyper-focus on the script and I get it done and then I delete the DM. So that's what I did with Radha. And then I submitted it to We Screenplay and they gave me some really good notes, which I've had some, basically it's a hit or miss with We Screenplay and the feedback that you get. But they said that it felt too much like an overview of events, not like we were actually following and connecting emotionally with a protagonist. There wasn't a protagonist really moving the story forward and causing things to happen. And that was true. I was like, that makes sense because it was a dream. So then I changed that and I just felt so good. Here is the log line. Well, there's two. I most often have two different log lines because I'm not great at writing log lines just yet. But here's one. In humanity's near future, America's good intentions catastrophically backfire when new technology allows descendants of slaves to reanimate their ancestors and their love becomes a currency others prize. Another log line is, black ancestors hijack new technology to defend their descendants against racist hackers. And that is the story in a nutshell. It is only 12 pages, but I feel like it's a full-fledged story. I don't feel like it needs to be 30 minutes. I don't feel like it needs to be a series or a feature. I feel like it's perfect just as 12 minutes. And I have no idea if that will ever be produced. Some of the stories, I just feel like they need to get out of my head. I'm not really like, I really want this made. But some of them I really want made. I would love for Seep to be made. But I'm more focused on some of my other stories being made. And that leads me to BTW, I'm an alien. So I've said a lot about BTW in different episodes, but I'll give the short backstory really quickly. In 2019, I was just starting to really learn and develop the skill and craft of screenplay storytelling. And an idea popped into my head at the end of October, and it consumed my thoughts for almost all of November until I got it out of my head and wrote it as a short. And it was the idea of, what would Trevor Noah's life be like if he were married to an alien in a parallel reality? And then, of course, when 2020 rolled around and the pandemic was all anyone was dealing with, I really needed a story that made me happy, because most of my stories are quite hard and they deal with death and just hard subject matter. So BTW was my medicine. It provided levity. It provided a distraction from all my neuroses and anxieties and depression about life during the pandemic. And I will always be so appreciative to Trevor Noah for having so much content out there to also help me remain, essentially keep my head above water as I was drowning with some of my emotions. So I have written 3 seasons, which I know sounds ridiculous, but it was just to make life bearable. It was my way of coping. So season 1 was all about laughter. And then season 2 is about me throwing my grievances into the story and kind of like trying to process and problem solve some of them. And then by the time I got to season 3, I knew a lot more about screenplay writing and the act structure, and I feel like season 3 is the best season. Well, probably the first season is still the best, but the third is the second best. Season 2 is also a little bit sexual, just because I was quite lonely during the pandemic, so I'm gonna have to rewrite that. But it is one of my favorite stories. There really has been no other story that just has been like a salve, like a balm, when my heart was like an open wound, that begrudgingly had to wake up every day and see more pain in the world. So I love this story. And it is a series. It's meant to be animated. And it's also meant to have more blackness in space. So when I was growing up, I didn't see a lot of blackness. I mean, yes, Star Trek eventually had more black people, and Star Wars does now, but I feel like it's still not enough. And I need like just more black sci-fi. I was watching Tracy Ellis Ross speak, and she said there's still very limited roles for black women. And I would like to see that change. And so I wrote it. I wrote what I wish to see on the screen. And my hope is that it will change the industry in a little way and give the young black girls in the world today something that not only makes them smile, but they see themselves in, helps them problem solve and understand life more, accept themselves and accept others. Again, all while laughing. That is my highest hope, for it to be a visual medicine and a visual boost to people's confidence so that they truly can be my age and not feel like they were never represented. Okay, little tears are coming to my eyes. So one of my other stories that I wrote is Ghostly Ghoul Family, and that's also a series. It started off as two features. In 2019, I was meditating, and I just had this pressure of, like, you have to write it now. And I was focusing on Karmic Bait, which is my oldest screenplay, but I switched gears. I was like, okay, it's been almost a decade since I came up with Ghostly Ghoul Family. I need to write it out. So I wrote it, and I completed the feature in 2019, but then I felt like so much was missing or so much more needs to be said. So I wrote a feature two. And of course I got people going, blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't write the second feature if the first one isn't made. I'm like, I'm just trying to really learn the craft. And the only way to do that is through writing. And also, you don't know what I'm going to do with the story. My original vision was to make it a graphic novel. And I needed the story completely fleshed out in my mind in order to find where the hiccups were. And I have learned so much about myself, about the craft through Ghostly Ghoul Family. And now, after I had written it, so many people are talking about residential schools now because they found unmarked graves in Canada, and I think some in the US. And so I'm just appreciative that finally this topic is being talked about more. Because when I first learned about it, I was like, why is nobody else talking about it? So Ghostly Ghoul Family follows an interracial couple, a Black woman and a Cree and Dene man. And they are ghost hunters. I don't really love that word, hunting down ghosts, but they are paranormal explorers. Maybe that's a better term. And they go to a residential school that's abandoned. It's broken down. Someone has bought it and wants to change it into a hotel. But they're experiencing weird supernatural experiences. So they go there to find out what happened and try to give the souls of the lost children some peace. But what really happens is they're pulled in so many different directions and their inner demons come out, and it really tests the strength of their relationships and their love for each other. It does talk a little bit about reincarnation. It does marry the two of, like, Native American or Indigenous spirituality and African spirituality. It was always meant to show the forced dance that these two minorities share, because a lot of people don't know, but there were also industrial schools and homes for colored kids where the same thing happened, where these kids were stolen away from their families, forced into these stark, cold, abusive environments where there were priests and nuns who were trying to kill their culture and change their identity. And some died, and of course, many were left with, like, many survivors were left with the scars. And I wanted to talk about the abuse that both Black people and First Nations people, well, really children, dealt with, and how that impacted their communities. Because I'm really tired of the story being glossed over. It's one of the hardest stories to write. I am always crying when I write it. And then when the Canadian news started talking more about it, and the reason I cite Canadian news is because I was in Canada for nearly 14 years. I only came back to the US this year, but they were interviewing survivors, and one of the survivors, who was, I think, in her 50s or early 60s, She talked about seeing her best friend picked up and swung against a tree and killed right in front of her eyes. What does that tell you about an adult who thought that they could just kill a child in front of all these other kids and not have any repercussions and not care at all? It just shows you how much they weren't seen as humans. And do I think I am the best person to write it? No. But because it came through so strongly in meditation and as a medium, I like to honor the request of souls. And the story came when I was dating a Cree man and I started seeing, and I know that sounds weird to a lot of other people out there, but please open your mind. I saw the souls, the spirits of indigenous children following my ex. And one day I asked them, "What happened to you?" And they told me their story. And then it switched to a fictional story of me being a ghost hunter and going with this other crew of people I'd never seen before to a residential school to research. And I'm not going to get into all of the story, but that was in 2010. And I just never wrote it until 2019. And I was mad at myself because I was like, I've forgotten so much of the story because I let a decade pass. But it all came back. And so I am immensely proud of myself for finishing both features and then adapting them into 4 episodes. So essentially, season 1, I just notice how my brain works. It works in 8 episode increments. So season 1 of Ghost Legal Family is 8 episodes, 4 episodes of residential schools and 4 episodes of industrial schools. Basically Black and Indigenous children and their stories. And then I also wrote out 6 episodes for season 2. Yes, I know. I have not even managed to get a manager, but I needed the story out of my head. And I knew so much of the story because it had been brewing in my mind for a decade. Do I want to have this one made? Absolutely. But right now I'm focusing on it being a graphic novel. I found someone who said that they might be open to doing a few pages so that I can pitch it to publishing companies. So we'll see what comes from that. I really love that story. I love it as much as I do Ghostly. I love it as much as I do love BTW. So Ghostly Cool Family and BTW were made around the exact same time. I kept jumping from one to the other. And the idea is that Maroa in BTW, who is the hybrid, half alien, half human, half Lucivilite, half human, child of Travis Norrie, who is the main character in BTW, it follows her, but then Gigi Family follows Hania. And basically, it's the same soul, but parallel lives. And that's how most of my stories are. So it was nice to write them around the same time because they play into each other. So very proud of that. One of the other stories I wrote is going to be a mini series called, it was first called Pets and Pandemics. And that story came to me after reading a client multiple times. So this client kept calling me and saying, "Will Mistress so-and-so throw me out?" Basically, he identified as a sissy boy. and he was like a live-in. I won't get into all of it. Okay. It really hurt my heart that he was so nervous about being thrown out during the pandemic. And it was his own anxiety. But I thought how nobody's really talking about the kink community and how the pandemic is affecting them. And like how different it is for someone who identifies as like a sex slave, or does puppy play and can't just like move out, if their handler or master dies or gets sick. And so I changed the name from Pandicum, or it was Pets and Pandemics. I changed it to Pandicament because I like to do play on words. And it's 46 pages for the pilot. I'm very happy with it. I wrote part of episode 2. I'm not going to write out the whole series, but I know the gist of the story. And I would love for that also to be made, because I believe in true inclusion. A lot of the times when I hear about diversity, people are talking about skin color and gender, but not really kink. And so I feel like the kink community deserves to have a story, a show that they can watch, because only the ones that I've seen, except for, what was it called? Was it called Bondage? There was a Netflix show that came out where it was kind of sort of, oh, it's Bonding. So that was the only one that I've seen that's kind of close to what I want to give the kink community. But I didn't love Bonding. I felt like it, I don't know, it was a little bit too comedic, and I felt like it didn't dive. Anyway, it was good. I'm glad that they're doing that. I just feel like we need to do more, because the only other shows I see around this topic are documentaries. There's something new on, I just saw it yesterday, I think it's called Sex Diaries. And then I'm just looking it up. Yes. No. Where did it go? Yes, it's called Sex Diaries. And then there is that woman with the strange last name that I can't pronounce perfectly until I find it. She's doing a docuseries on exploring women's sex lives. Her last name starts with a D. I wonder if you know what I mean. I'm not going to move on until I find exactly what it's called, because I watched a little bit of it, but I was too distracted with other things to really dive all the way into it. Oh my God. See, this is how my brain hyper-focuses on things, and I can't move on until I get it done. Well, while I'm looking for that, I'm going to talk about karmic bait. So karmic bait was a nightmare I had when I was 19. And when I woke up, I could still hear the rhyming, the poetry in the dream. And I started to write it out. I know the story from beginning to end. It has never changed. However, making it so that the action lines were cleaner. It's one of the most complicated stories I've ever had to write. And I found it. It's called Planet Sex with Kara I'm just going to click it so I can say I don't know how to pronounce her last name. I'm sorry. But it's called Planet Sex. So that's another documentary, a little bit about the kink community. And I just feel like we need actual dramedies and dramas around it, not just bonding and docuseries. Anyway, So for karmic bait, that was the first one I started really dealing with in 2019. This story is meant to confront spiritual precepts and how they can be abusively utilized by people to get their way. And so the character is baiting the reader, the viewer, into his own mind game. And so a lot of people I've noticed who give me feedback are really angry because they fell for his trap. I'm like, that's not my problem. And it actually is a compliment that I'm doing better at my writing than I thought by actually seeing the response and reaction. So Karmic Bait is not a funny script at all. It is a thriller script that's about a serial killer. But it talks about certain psychiatric beliefs in the 60s and how corrective rape was considered I'm trying to find the right word. It wasn't considered feasible, but useful by some people. It talks about suicide. It talks about cults. It talks about the abuse that people have dealt with in these institutions and how the doctor is glamorized but can really be the wielder of immense trauma and pain and abuse. It's one of my favorite scripts because I love the poetry and I actually do love the character. I've had this weird script analyst that I'll talk about at some point in the future who was actually verbally abusive to me, like attacking me and treating me like the character, because I think I said I actually really like Peyton, the main character. And I've heard from actually established people in the industry that you have to care about each character and you have to not judge them, otherwise you're limiting the story of that particular person. And so you do have to love every single character in order to do the story true justice. But for some reason, he thought I meant something else, and which was, it was just an insane experience where someone who I thought was very professional in the industry acted like a 16-year-old dumbass, making weird accusations and telling me that there was something mentally wrong with me because I wrote it. I was like, what are you talking? Like, who thinks that they can assess someone's mental state, if they're mentally ill or not, based off of a story that was written over 15 years ago? I just was perplexed by his unprofessionalism, and that's why I'll speak out about him in the future at some point, so that people don't have to deal with the same level of insanity. But it also was a compliment that the story actually is getting that emotional reaction. It's not for everybody. Which I think is obvious. Most people don't like serial killer stories, but this story is meant to dive deeper into some of the ideas in society that can be weaponized by this character. So I'll end with a few more shorts that I wrote. So there's Mother Funder, which was a short about a mother's love, and being tested to decide if the ends really justify the means as it pertains to her son. It's a very simple story, only 7 pages, and I wrote it just because I read something where people are challenging. It was a competition where they were like, if you write a script about this, we'll do a competition, you can win potential money. So I wrote it and decided not to enter it into a competition because I wanted to keep it to myself. And then there is Rain Pours. Rain Pours is one of the first stories I completed. This was back when I was taking college courses, when I think I was 19 again. And it's meant to push back a. It's hard to explain, but basically, it's about a Christian boy, a Christian black boy, and how he confronts exclusionary Christianity when it comes to his best friend. But his best friend is a demon. Okay, and Jesus gives him the task of trying to help his demonic friend become angelic so that they can both go to heaven. It's meant to be a web series. It always made me cry when I first started writing it, but it's one of my favorite stories just because it shows the perseverance of black men in reference to their religion. I am not a Christian. This was written back when I was still subscribing to that to a degree, because I was still living with overly religious people, and I was just becoming an adult, 18 to 19. So I want the story to still be told authentically, meaning in the confines of the story, Christianity is true. But I like that it challenges certain ideas within Christianity. That's what my stories are all about, just challenging certain spiritual precepts and demonstrating how it can be used counterproductively and productively, like how it's truly meant to be expressed and displayed, and then how it can also be hacked, hijacked, weaponized, against our fellow man, our fellow woman, our fellow person, our fellow pets and plant life, humanity and earth beings. So that's all for today. Like I said in a previous episode, I never wrote a new story and completed it this year. I've just kind of tweaked some of the stories I already have. But I'm so proud of myself because I didn't go through all the ones that I've completed, but I have over 45 scripts that are completed. Yes, let's go, me. I'm still learning. I think it'll probably take me a decade before I'm truly confident in my ability to write. But I'm just going to keep going because writing is the main thing that puts me in a constant state of joy.